Pop Chasers, and happy August 26th. It is Thursday, which I would say is my second favorite weekday. Friday is first, then Thursday, then Tuesday, then Wednesday, and then Monday. And the reason I'm putting Tuesday in the third spot is because Tuesday knows what it wants. Wednesday is straddling that middle line, can't make a decision. It's like either you're on the end of the week or you're at the beginning of the week. But Wednesday isn't doing that. And I just don't appreciate indecisiveness when it comes to my weekdays. So Tuesday gets the third spot, then Wednesday, then Monday. But it is Thursday. And that means it's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills check-in day. Now, I know I usually talk about Erica. And how can I not talk about Erica? Truthfully, it's all I want to talk about. My family has begged me to stop. But I recently learned that there is a feud going on Twitter between Garcelle and Teddy that I would be remiss to not mention. So Queens of Bravo Instagram tweeted, "I was listening to Teddy's podcast, and during her appearance at Kyle's dinner, Teddy overheard Garcelle tell production, 'Why is she even here and why does she get to have an opinion? Cheers.' Garcelle responded and said, 'Well, that is not true.' And then a fan said, 'We really want it to be though, like really.' And then Garcelle came back and said, 'I said it in front of her while we were filming.'" I don't know if you can hear, but I'm clapping. That is an incredible rebuttal. But of course, Teddy had something to say. And Teddy said, "I said, you said, while looking at production in front of me while filming. And I responded, 'Do I need to ask you when I can speak? Maybe I should have asked when you, why you text me happy birthday or about mattresses and agents if you're so bothered by me.' I would like to remind Teddy Mellencamp that Garcelle is somebody who you do not want to get into an electronic argument with. Because when Garcelle's husband of 9 years cheated on her, she not only sent an email to their family or their friends, but to his entire company to inform them that he cheated on her.
So that night I wrote an email to friends and colleagues at Mike's work. And the subject was, what does Tiger Woods, Jesse James, and Mike Nylon have in common? And that email got leaked to the press.
You do not cross Garcelle online. You just should not. And Teddy, I think I think this is your moment to just back down. But I just had to bring that one up because I feel like that was a behind the scenes thing that was just so good to we couldn't ignore it. I want to also bring up that Bethany Frankel has denied returning to Beverly Hills or to New York Housewives. She said, "I posted this on Insta, but that my being in talks with Bravo is 100% false. I deleted it there because Haiti is what's important and I don't want to clutter messages with false gossip. The leak is desperate for attention. I haven't spoken to Bravo since leaving and Andy and I don't discuss Roni." So I guess Bethany isn't in talks. I don't fully buy that. I think that there's a possibility that this is just to distract us, but I could see Bethany returning. And as I said, I think she should return. But the real person that should return is Dorinda Medley. That is your Real Housewives check-in for the day. Okay, next topic. Dexter is coming back November 7th. I feel like I missed the November 7th announcement. I knew it was the fall, but I think everything is being teased for the fall. Winter House, fall. Succession, fall. Although I think Succession is officially October. Early mid-October. Dexter is November 7th. This is not news. What is news, though, is how Deb will be returning to Dexter. Now, we've talked about Dexter a little bit on this podcast. I loved the first 4 seasons of Dexter. Just like everybody else, I felt like as it went on, it got worse and worse, and then it just completely blew up. But when I saw the new footage of Dexter New Blood, I have to say I was incredibly excited. Deb is going to be returning, Jennifer Carpenter. She's going to be returning in what sounds like the same role as Dexter's dad, Harry, was in the original series, kind of like the code because there was like Harry's code, right? Harry's rules, Harry's code. I think that Deb is going to be this kind of guiding force for Dexter as he may or may not tiptoe back into the dark side to meet his dark passenger. In a panel at the Television Critics Association, Jennifer Carpenter said, "I don't think of her, Deb, as a ghost, but more of a link or an echo or an inconvenient truth for Dexter." So I think that we're going to see him grapple with perhaps the difficulties of finally putting his life behind him as a serial killer and trying to somehow maintain a normal, in quotes, normal life. And I think as those dark thoughts maybe come to fruition, or maybe something happens in this itty bitty town in upstate New York that he's living in that triggers it, I think Deb will come in. And again, I don't know if she's going to provoke it. I don't know if she's going to try to stop it. I don't know if she's going to just be there to judge the hell out of him. I would love any of those options. Another person that Showtime has teased to be returning is Harrison. Harrison is the son of Dexter and Rita, RIP. And they teased it, and it's not confirmed, but they teased it with a photo that they shared on their Instagram account. And it says, "Harrison, is that you?" And it's a photo of Michael C. Hall and what looks to be a 20-year-old boy. Now, season 4 of Dexter, I'm looking it up right now, don't mind me typing, premiered in 2008. Whew. So that blows my mind. So 2008 was 13 years ago. Harrison should be no older than 15 max. Absolute max, but maybe that there's a time jump. There could very well be a time jump. And for that, I'm kind of thankful, because I think I was dreading the idea of Dexter having to be a father, because I'm like, God, this guy's got a lot on his plate. He doesn't need to balance like getting little Harrison to soccer practice. But if his son is older, I think that that could add an interesting layer to it, especially because I wonder, could Harrison maybe pick up on his dad's hobby? Possibly? Question mark? I don't know. We'll have to tune in November 7th to find out, but I do feel like it's very promising. I have hope that this series will right the wrongs that were done onto us. And the last thing I would like to discuss is Flaming Hot Cheetos Mountain Dew flavor. So I mean, talk about a segue. I'm going from serial killer to a soda that may be a serial killer. Mountain Dew is coming out with a Flaming Hot Cheetos flavor. And I feel like this is the second thing this week that has truly confused me. I saw that I think there's a mayo coming out that is going to be a pumpkin spice flavor. I can argue that a pumpkin spice flavor mayo might be good on a sweet potato tot, perhaps, you know, a little aioli dip. But do I think a Flaming Hot Mountain Dew is what the doctor ordered? The answer to that is no. The cans will be available starting August 31st if you're looking to burn a hole through your esophagus. And this is how the company describes it. Sweet citrus dew with a new spicy goodness. They also said that as a brand, Dew has a rich history of experimenting with new flavors our fans love. We certainly had them in mind when we developed the Flamin' Hot beverage. This is one of our most provocative beverages yet, and we're excited for Dew Nation to taste the unique blend of spicy and classic citrus flavor of Mountain Dew. First of all, Dew Nation, is that what we're calling them? I haven't had a Mountain Dew since Code Red, which I think at this point I'm probably like, there's probably a class action for that, right? Like, Code Red was alarming, but it was so good. Was that just cherry? It must have just been cherry, but Code Red was the last time I've held a Mountain Dew. And I just have missed that we've started calling the fans of Mountain Dew Dew Nation. If you are part of Dew Nation and you want to come on the podcast, let me know. You can tweet us at the dip, at Allison Piwo. I'd love to hear from you, especially if you are going to be trying this Flaming Hot Cheeto Mountain Dew. I cannot imagine a more repulsive combination, if I'm just being 100% honest, but I will suspend my judgment until people have actually gotten their lips on this drink. And I would like to say, in the interest of being transparent, I have tried a bacon soda. I have. And I just feel like I need to say that, because if that comes out after I've just ripped on this beverage, I could never live. So I have tried it. I hated it. I just wet my lips with it. I barely ingested any of it. I do not think that soda, for me, there's only one soda, and it's a Fountain DC from McDonald's. Done. I don't want anything else. But if you're going to try this, please let me know. Also, I would love to know if people have tried the crisp apple macchiato from Starbucks, because I am not a huge coffee drinker. I'm interested. I'm not a pumpkin spice girl. I love the concept. I love the fall aesthetic. Crisp apple macchiato, I would love to hear the reviews. I really would. And I have a deep dive of the day. Speaking of Mountain Dew, which feels nostalgic, it feels like I'm reminiscing on my childhood, I decided to open the vault of my Amazon order history and look back at what the very first purchase I made on Amazon was. Now, I would like to preface that I had friends at the age of 19. I really did. What I am about to say was my first purchase would suggest I didn't. But I was in college. I had a group of great, great girlfriends, and I was going out. I was partying, you guys. I don't want to brag, but like, I had a social life. But my first Amazon purchase was not only a Furby named Snowball for $30, but a Furby training guide for $4. Now, what makes this even darker is I purchased it the day after my 19th birthday. So I don't know what I was going through that day. Maybe as a friend of the pod, Linda told me on Twitter, which I really appreciated, Linda. Thank you for giving me the benefit of the doubt. I was perhaps trying to hold on to the last year of my teens, just to reconnect to my childhood as I entered that last phase of teenage years. I would like to think that that's what it was, and I can't remember why I would ever buy this, which is also concerning. It's probably from the Mountain Dew Code Red that I consumed as a child. I think maybe it was a gift, but as Kate said, Kate, former co-host, friend of the pod, Kate Ward, said, the training guide really does indicate that I had intent to use and train my Furby. Guys, I wish I could explain it. I think I'm most troubled by the fact that this was the day after my birthday in college, but I'd like to think that I was just being funny and I was pranking somebody. I don't know, though. And it feels dark. And I would recommend all of you go back to look at what your very first Amazon order history item was. Kate's, I will say, included a CD from an American Idol alum, a nostalgia, I love the 80s, and you guys. And I hope she doesn't mind me exposing her. She would be so proud. And we know she's not going to listen to this. A Lord of the Rings movie poster. A poster, you guys. Where is that poster now? Guys, that is it for today. Thank you so much for listening to Pop Chaser. I will be back tomorrow with new headlines. And until then, I hope everybody checks us out on thedip.com. Use the promo code POPCHASER for 50% off. And until then, cheers.